I wasn't in the mood to duel. Good morning. Good to see you. Some of you look a little dust covered. Little dust covered. Feel a little dusty. We brought nothing but the best for you guys. We brought that in all the way from Africa. So if it helps your complexion, just thank us for it. Now, a number of our folks today are struggling with the dust in the air and allergies and such. And so I say all that in jest, but I know some folks are suffering. And I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. Praise God for the fact that we live in a country where we can peacefully assemble. We have the right to worship our God and not worry about somebody busting through the door and breaking us up. We praise God for that. We praise God for a risen Savior, a one who is reigning on high right now and is going to come one day and take us home to be with Him. Just a few announcements before we begin to worship. Vacation Bible School, I don't know if you saw, that's going to be on July 30th. There is help needed. There is a yellow piece of paper on the bulletin board out in the foyer. I want to encourage you that if you have not had a chance to sign up, you want to help, you can look and see what's there. Get in touch with Carrie, or also you can get in touch with Callie, and they can help you. But there are some specific needs that they still have still not been filled at this point. Tonight we're going to begin a study in the book of Amos. I just want to pass that along too. Perhaps you've never read the book of Amos or studied it. We're gonna venture through it starting tonight. There's other announcements, but I'll let you read those in the bulletin. I think we have Miss Bond has an announcement. A week from tomorrow.
Kingsland.
Okay, we have Airbnbs on LBJ. So we're staying local. That's why we wanted to just bring a meal. Like,
this coming Wednesday, there will be a Zoom call for people who are interested in being prayer partners with the seed company. And there's information on a small slip of paper back there on that back piece, on that back table in the sanctuary. So if you're interested in being in on that Zoom call and operating as a prayer partner for our seed company project in Madagascar, please look at that. All right, let's worship together.
Let's stand together. We got a full stage this morning.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield, our defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Let's stop just a second. This is not how our world talks, is it? How many people have you heard when you go to school or church or, I mean, school or work or something like that, and you hear, oh, glorious above, and hear people talk like that? They don't. I'm not downplaying this at all. I don't think this does God the justice that he deserves. I think in our weakness of words, this is as high as we can think. Let's focus our hearts this morning on the fact that we have a God who is glorious. And I know what the preacher's preaching on, so this is so key to everything that's going on in our society right now. And it's key to what goes on in our hearts, that we understand that God is in control and God is glorious. So let's sing this out to him.
His might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. The bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distilled in the dew and the rain. Fill children of dust and feeble as rail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not change thee. Great Father of glory, your Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. praise we would render. Oh, help us to see 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
You may be seated.
This is from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not king? Are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Let's pray. Father, it's uncanny sometimes how we read the scriptures. And although they seem like they are so distant from us in terms of some things because we're modern people, we can put ourselves in stories like this one. We can say, "Lord, there's unrest in our country. Perhaps economic instability around the world. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's a pandemic. So much going on to where we can put ourselves in the shoes of Jehoshaphat and say, Lord, the enemies loom large. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And we're thankful that we know, Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and says, do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. We're grateful in the midst of the time in which we're in, we know that Jesus has overcome the world. And so we pray today that as we continue to worship and praise your holy name, that you would loom large in our minds and in our hearts, that you would be great and glorious to us, that it would overflow our hearts and our minds and our lips as we sing, "How Great You Are." We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Thank you.
thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with thee, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou. King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler. Bye.
more time. Name above all names.
He is name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Let's sing this out. How great is our God.
God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
God, you are a great God. We need you to be our vision. God, our world is so trying to get us to look at things their way. And we need you to be our vision. We need you to be the light to our footsteps. Not because we have to prove something. The whole world right now is trying to prove that they have the answers. And God, we know that you are the answer. And so we need you desperately this morning, desperately to change and realign our vision, to stop focusing on the things that they're trying to do and start focusing on the thing that you've already done. As we worship you this morning, God, just till up the soil of our heart where it's become rocky and hard and plant in us the truth that it grows strong and deep. That when the world smells the blossoms of who you are, they find peace. In the name of Jesus Christ alone we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by dark. Glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, Christ has lost his grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life to crime to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Lord, calls me home. Here in the love of Christ, I'll stand.
God, you be glorified in this place today. We thank you for being here with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The Lord has a word for all of us this morning in Psalm 10. So if you would please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 10. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, then you can just use the Pew Bible there. Be Psalm chapter 10. We're going to read all 18 verses. We're going to do something a little bit different. Notice I said we. The words are going to be on the screen, and they're in the English Standard Version. I'm going to read this first screen. And then when I advance to the next screen, I want you to join in and read out loud along with me. If you can't see that far, there's a screen in the back too. So if you're a little far away, hopefully that's big enough for you to read. But we're going to read this together, and there's method to the madness. So if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. This is the Word of the Lord. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all time. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account, but you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their hearts. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Let's pray together. Father, we need psalms like this to help us at times. Perhaps not all the time, but there will be times in our life when we need to know how to pray. And we thank you for putting this in your word. God, through this, may you be glorified today as we sit under the authority of your word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We did a great job. Wonderful job. We'll do that again sometime. I would imagine it's pretty safe to say that in this room, and even people listening online, there are some people who life is kind of getting the best of them right now. Things are difficult. There are perhaps storms, waves. And the last thing you need to hear is, God helps those who help themselves. If there is a Goliath in front of you, there is obviously a David within you. Or God will never give you more than you can handle. That's the last thing you need to hear. Why? Because it places on you this crushing burden to stand up in the midst of immense pain and suffering. Why would you want someone, and I understand this, well-meaning people say that. And I know they mean well. And I think very often you receive it well. But I think what you needed to hear was Psalm 10. I think instead of saying God helps those who help themselves, perhaps you needed to hear a prayer like this in the Bible. And you might actually be thinking, people prayed like that? Yeah, it's in the Bible. We just read it together. There are prayers like this. And in times of trouble, when we feel like God is far off, we need psalms like this. They're called lament psalms. Do you know a full one-third of all the 150 psalms in the Bible are lament psalms? So it says in the Bible that Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He lived in our world and he knew what it was like to walk around in this broken world. But he was also a student of the Word. In fact, he was the Word in flesh. And he knew how to pray like this. In fact, from the cross, Jesus prayed Psalm 22. He said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? So we need times, we need in certain times to be able to lament. This is a very simple definition of what lament is. And I got it from a book from a man named Mark Vrojop, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. And he says, lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. So, if this lands on you today, you might be thinking, this is what I need to hear. Brother Shannon, does the Word teach us how to pray, how to lament? It does. That's what we're going to spend our time doing, walking through in Psalm 10. How to lament. The first step in the journey of lament, in the cycle of lament, the first step is to turn to God. I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. The first word there is why. And the writer of this psalm could have stopped right there. Why? You know, just a general question. Like throwing up his hands, wringing his hands, pity poor me. Why? But instead of doing that, the psalmist says, why, O Lord? The psalmist turns to God. Now, why should we turn to God? We should turn to God instead of reacting like an atheist. Now, you noticed in the text that the cause of the problem for the psalmist is the wicked. And he continues to bring the wicked up before God. And the wicked, you notice, verse 3, curses and renounces the Lord. Verse 4, all his thoughts are, there is no God. Verse 11, he says in his heart, God is forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. In other words, the wicked are the atheists. And when they cause trouble in our lives, we're not to react like an atheist. They act like atheists. We shouldn't react like atheists. We should instead turn to God. Now, how could we act like an atheist in reacting to what goes on in the world, like wickedness? We could say, pity poor me. We could throw a pity party. Or we could throw a temper tantrum. Or we could do like the psalmist says in Psalm 73. We could look at the wicked and say, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. If you can't beat them, join them. You know what I'm saying? So we can act like atheists when we throw a pity party or a temper tantrum or say, well, if I can't beat them, might as well join them. We should turn to God in our struggle as well. Notice in verse 1, there is a struggle. The psalmist says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off, far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? God, why are you playing hide and go seek right now? Why are you far away? Now, this is the struggle for the psalmist. The psalmist knows in his heart that God is not far away. That God is not hiding himself in times of trouble. It just feels like it. So the psalmist bares his soul and says, this is my struggle, Lord. You feel like you're far away and like you're hiding from me. When we turn to God and bare our hearts and say, Lord, this is my struggle, then we're reacting to pain differently than the world. We also turn to God in our pain. Now, you could look at verse 1, and why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And you could picture the psalmist, and this is not how you should picture the psalmist. You could picture the psalmist just maybe sitting on the back porch, enjoying a nice sweet tea, and just kind of musing to himself, you know, it sort of feels like God is far away. Sort of feels like God is hiding himself. As if it is merely a philosophical conversation. As if it's just a conversation in his head. But he is speaking from deep pain. So we turn to God instead of reacting like an atheist. We turn to God in our struggle and in our pain because this is why God gave us these Psalms. That we might turn to Him. In Romans 8, we're told that oftentimes we don't know how to pray. And that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. When we struggle to pray, we have someone interceding for us. But it's also comforting to know that even Christ, in time when He was on the cross and He said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? He even turned to the Psalms. And it's a lesson for us that God gave these to us so that we might learn the language of lament and be able to speak into a situation with words that God Himself provided. So we turn to God, but next we complain to God. When we complain to God, notice the first point there is be vocal. Now that's not necessarily saying, and perhaps you've done this before. I'll admit and say I've done this before, where you take up the Psalms, and there are Psalms like Psalm 10, and you take your Bible and you open it up, and out loud you read that as if it were your prayer, because it is your prayer. You might do that, but the point of be vocal is this. Don't keep it in. We come to church, we ask each other what question? How you doing today? What's the answer? Good. Fine. Doing great. Went on vacation, got back, life is good. I think we've trained ourselves perhaps not to be vocal about what's going on in our lives. We'd rather press it down. Men are especially bad about it. You look like you're limping a bit. No, I'm fine. Did you cut yourself? No, I'm good. Wipe the blood off on your britches. Let your wife get it out later in the laundry. No, we're good. We want to press it down. But the psalmist here, and this would have been used in a service, much like what we just did earlier, by praying this psalm together, we were vocal, saying, God, why does it feel like this right now in my life? when you can complain to God. And by the way, I need to back up for just a moment and explain complain. This is not nagging God. This is not, you know, when you're around a complainer and they see you in the store and you wish they hadn't seen me, because they're going to come up and they got something to complain about. Something's always wrong, and whatever it is, and you just don't want to hear them complain because it's such a drag. That's not what is meant here. It's more of an expression of faith. God, I am bringing my concern to you because I trust in you. My faith is in you. So I'm not complaining, God. I'm telling you this is what's going on. So when you're... Okay, back to the second point here. Complain to God, be vocal, be vulnerable. By vulnerable, it's really more of what I was just saying about, how are you doing today? Fine. There is a sense here in which the psalmist has, from the get-go, said, I'm not fine. And we have this in the Bible. It's not as if, you know, he wrote this note down and then stuffed it away in his diary where only he could read it later on. He put himself out there. Sometimes we need to be vulnerable enough to put ourselves out there and say, God, this is how it is. Sometimes we need to be vivid too. I want you to notice in the text, now again, the object of the lament for the psalmist is the wicked and how the wicked continue to just prosper. God, I struggle with that. You're a good God, and yet the wicked prosper. And listen to how he describes the wicked. He calls them arrogant, verse 1. He calls them scheming in verse 1. Verse 2. He calls them boastful in verse 3. Greedy in verse 3. He calls them high-handed. They just renounce the Lord. Lord, we don't need you. He calls them prideful in verse 4. Calls them foolish in verse 4 because the fool says in his heart there is no God. He calls the wicked prosperous in verse 5 and that they're carefree because God's judgments are on high out of his sight, verse 5. And he's confident because he just puffs at his foes, verse 5. And he says in his heart, I'll not be moved. Throughout all generations I shall not meet adversity. He's the cursing and deceitful and oppressive wicked. He's the prowling wicked as he sits in ambush in the villages. He's the powerful wicked, verse 10, because the helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. And he is the unaccountable wicked, verse 11. God is forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it, the wicked person says. So in a very vivid way, the psalmist just doesn't say, God, do something about the wicked. He lays out the complaint in full, vivid detail and says, God, this is what's going on. And again, it's not being a complainer. It's laying out a case for God. This is why I want to ask you. I want to ask you to do some things for me. Because I believe you're good and you're strong and you're powerful. And you're looking at this and you see this. So we turn to God, we complain to God, and we ask God. And we ask God to act. You notice verse 2 says, let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. It says in verse 12, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Then he says, verse 15, break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. He prays and asks God to act, but he asks God to act in accordance with his character. He asks God, he even says, God, I know that you see this. I know that you notice what's going on. Verse 14. He says, Lord, you've been the helper of the fatherless. The helpless commit themselves to you. Lord, you're king. So he asked God to act in accordance with his character to help those that are hurting and hopeless, those who feel like they have no place to go but God. Because they can't go maybe to the local law authorities and get a hearing in court because they don't have enough status in society. He says, Lord, help them. And he says, to act for the sake of God's name and fame. Here's what, that's what verse 14 tells me. I'm sorry, verse 18. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed so that the man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. So that person doesn't think that they can just act in a high-handed manner against the Lord. God, he's basically saying, God, prove to the world who you are. That you're a glorious God who does not tolerate evil. And that you punish the wicked. Stand up, God, for your sake, for your name, for your fame. And finally, this psalm turns us to trust. Again, remember, the definition of a lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. This is where it ends up, is trust. So what do we trust? We trust that God hears. Verse 14, but you see, you note vexation and mischief, that you may take it into your hands to the helpless. To you, the helpless commits himself. You've been the helper of the fatherless. Verse 17, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. We trust that God strengthens. Verse 17, you will strengthen their heart. Trust God that he acts. Verse 17, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to act. Verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that the man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. And God, you can be shown as a God who is utterly and completely sovereign. You have no challengers to your throne. No one could stare you down or command you to leave your throne. God, you are truly and fully and completely sovereign. That's what we sang about, wasn't it? How great is our God, O worship the King. Be thou my vision. We need this vision of a God that we can trust when we need to turn to Him in our times of pain. When we turn to Him, we complain to Him, we ask God questions, hard questions. We ask Him to act. But then we trust because we know His character. Now this, I hope, instead of hearing God helps those who help themselves, or if there's a Goliath in front of you, there's a David inside of you, those aren't helpful. This is helpful. Where you can dig into the Scriptures and see, this is how God wants me to pray when it hurts. He's given me language. And perhaps even some of you today, in here, you're listening online, this is connected with your soul because you're hurting right now. And I encourage you that this is not the only lament psalm in the Bible. Find others. They may resonate with you at another time and help you to pray and trust God. But I do need to make one disclaimer about the lament psalms. And it goes back to verse 1. Verse 1 says, why, O Lord, why, O Lord? Now, you notice in the text that when it says, O Lord, the word Lord is in all capital letters. That is the word, that's the translation of Yahweh, Lord, God's covenant name. Now, why is that important? Because it leads to this disclaimer. Lament psalms like this are only for the people of God. Lament psalms like this are only for the people of God. Yahweh is God's covenant name. God entered into a covenant with the people of Israel. He entered into a covenant with us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, through His sacrificial death and resurrection, so that we are in covenant with Him. And being in covenant with Him, we are entitled to certain benefits of the covenant. And one of those is that we can pray to God and we can claim prayers in the Bible as our own, like this one. These prayers are only for Christians. Not for people who have written their name in a Bible and been baptized at one point in their life, but they choose to live far away from God. Not people who have been through a class at church and they've been declared a Christian by the church body. Not people who have been born in America or have was raised in church all their life. By Christian, I mean someone who has understood that they are a sinner who deserves death and who have turned from their sin, who have repented and turned to Jesus Christ and not said, Jesus, I have a little bit more work to do on myself and I'll make myself presentable to you and then you can accept me. No, it's the person who has said, Jesus, I can never do what is necessary to earn what you provide for me. And I receive it. And when you receive that, you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you receive salvation, and you come into covenant with Almighty God. That being said, then now you can pray these prayers. And they truly do get an audience with Almighty God. Now, why is that so important? Because it would be so easy for someone listening to this and not being a Christian think, I think that sounds like maybe a magic incantation that I can use to get God to act in the way that I want Him to act. And they'll just use God for what they want from Him. But God provided these prayers to His people, whom He loves. And He wants to come alongside them and help them in their pain. But I want you to know that you can become a Christian today. You can turn from your sin and place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And having done so, receive the salvation that God wants to give you through Him. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that today. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you knew the pain and sorrow of this world. And you did something about it. And we praise you for that. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Not to take away all sin, or not to take away all pain and struggle. But He entered into the struggle. A lot of people would have probably thought that if Jesus would just take away my problem, this particular earthly problem, all will be well. But I praise you, God, that Jesus didn't want to just take care of the small problems, but He wanted to take care of the big one. Lord, there may be people who are listening that their problem looms large in their mind and they want to pray to you, but they've never received you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray today that they would understand that you want to be prayed to about small problems, but you want to be the one who takes care of the biggest problem in their life. The fact that they need Jesus. So work in those lives today, Father. And Father, we also thank you that as Christians, we can speak the language of lament and it can help us to pray when we hurt so badly. So Father, we thank you for loving us the way that you do, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of response. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to sing Worthy, You Are Worthy. We're going to sing this whole song. And the altar is open. If you need to come and lament before the Lord, this is a time for you to do that. Perhaps you just need to sit in your pew and lament before the Lord. If there's another decision that you need to make, another action you need to take, feel the freedom to do that today. Respond as the Lord leads you. Let's sing together.
Worthy. You are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy, worthy, you are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords. Holy, you are holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are holy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Let's call his name, Jesus.
Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus, Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Amen. Just a few things to pray about today. Wanda's supposed to get back some blood work today or tomorrow, and just praying that that blood work comes back in a positive way for her so she doesn't have to take additional infusions when she takes her chemo. Kay is progressing little by little, day by day, Kay Clancy, so continue to pray for her. Are there any other updates you might want to give on anybody on the prayer list? Let's have a brief prayer. Father, we are grateful for your healing power in our lives and in the lives of those whom we love and care about. And we lift up specifically Wanda and Will Robertson and Will Shannon and Les Dawson and Kay Clancy, others we know that need your touch at this time. We pray that you bring healing to their body, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, we are going to say, we haven't done it in a while, we're going to say the Great Commission together. It's in there, right, Joel? There we go. Here we go. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." We're going to sing, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Yes.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.